Next guest is the commissioner of the Department of Consumer Protection. We have her on, as you know, once a month. Usually on Wednesdays. It's Wednesdays usually, isn't it? Yeah. Then perfect day. No wonder why she's waiting in the wings to come on the air. You know her. It is Michelle Siegel. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay.
Calling from your house? Time. Calling from your home, huh?
Yes, I am right now. I figured in the kind of spirit of social distancing, it would probably be better to call in and minimize the number of places I need to physically go.
Are you out and about today, or are you able to do some of your work or any of your work at home?
I will be going into the office. There's a lot of work we still want to do, and we still need to do as an agency. But I'm certainly preparing to be able to do work remotely if necessary.
Yeah, I would think that what's going on right now on the national level and how it relates to the state of Connecticut with the coronavirus, it would keep you, well, I'm not going to say as busy as the people who work in infectious disease or Department of Public Health, but I would think Department of Consumer Protection is right there on the front line as well, just with all the price gouging that we've been hearing about surrounding, you know, products on the people just hoarding all these things and selling them on the black market. Everything from hand sanitizer to Clorox wipes and disinfectant wipes and for some reason, toilet paper, which it baffles me still because it's not as far as I know, it's a respiratory issue, not a digestive one. But nevertheless, people are buying these things in droves off the shelves. What kind of complaints are you receiving regarding price gouging and hoarding things as well?
So we don't get as many complaints about the hoarding, but on price gouging, there certainly we're getting complaints, and we're working closely with our partners at the Attorney General's office. So, you know, between us, we've gotten 70 to 80 complaints. So it's a fair number. It is, for the most part, about the things you would expect, things like hand sanitizer, those types of items. So we're working with them to investigate those.
So these items... it's not the end of the world. I mean, these are items that are going to be replaced, right? I mean, it's just waiting for a new shipment. It's not like there's a short order of them nationally, correct?
I think so. It's a little trickier. We actually are working to see if there's ways for our pharmacies to maybe even create some hand sanitizers, and we, through an executive order, relax some rules for that. So there are different issues. There are some supply shortages that could become an issue, and you're seeing that particularly with these protective equipment that our healthcare workers really need. And then you have issues where people are just in such a rush, you know, you're seeing with toilet paper and things, pulling them off the shelves. So you have, it seems like a temporary supply shortage, and then the shelves are getting restocked. So it's hard to know. You know, our focus on price gouging is where we see situations where somebody is really ramping up the price during this period of an emergency, and that's what we're looking into. And sometimes things aren't always as clear cut. It may be that their supplier is now charging them a lot more, so we have to look into those issues. But we're getting a lot of complaints. We're working closely with the Attorney General's office, who's been great on this issue as well.
Is there a price though, or is there a percentage or an increment in an incremental way where you could determine that this is actually price gouging and not just a supplier that's increased its price? For example, if hand sanitizer, I don't know, let's say it was $2.50 and it goes up to $3.50. Okay, well, supply and demand, maybe the supplier, maybe they went up in their price. But if it went up to $7.50, which is $5 more than the normal rate as opposed to just $1, would that be a red flag for the Department of Consumer Protection?
That would certainly, things like that would be a red flag. So we can't, again, we'd have to see, did their supplier raise prices $5? Is there something else going on there? But that's something we'd look at. And consumers should definitely, you know, let us know if they're seeing significant increases on products that are at that level.
Other than hand sanitizers that you just mentioned a moment ago and the wipes, the sanitary wipes, what are some of the, and the toilet paper, excuse me, what are some of the other items that stand out that people are price gouging?
Really, those are the big ones that we're seeing issues on: the hand sanitizers, okay, the disinfectant wipes, the toilet paper.
Okay.
So those are the big issues where of kind of consumer items where we're hearing about significant price increases, and it kind of makes sense. Those are the ones where you're seeing the heightened demand for them.
Okay, what should consumers do though if they notice price gouging?
So you should alert us or alert the Attorney General's office. And what I want to definitely kind of leave your listeners with is just this is a great resource to just get any information you need on kind of what's going on in the state. So it's ct.gov/coronavirus. And that's a website state set up. It's being updated just constantly, you know, probably more than once a day. It's got a whole section of information on for consumers. It'll tell you, here's what you should do if you see price gouging. Here's what you need to do if you're having trouble canceling a trip. It kind of goes through everything. It talks about some of the big scams that people are seeing. So, and it's also been a good resource to learn some correct facts about what's happening with coronavirus.
Just good.
Start educating yourself.
Yeah.
You're not going to fall for these different types of scams.
I'm all for that. Getting out accurate information. ct.gov.coronavirus, correct?
Well, it's the / coronavirus.
Oh, I'm
sorry. ct.gov, yeah, / coronavirus.
Okay.
And if you go to any state website now, mm-hmm, it's right on a banner on the top of all the state website pages. You could go to ct.gov/DCP. You could go to any state website. Right at the top is going to be a banner that gives you the link for this coronavirus webpage. It's a great resource. Pretty much any question you have about what's this current state of what's going on in Connecticut is there. A lot of helpful tips. As I said, a specific kind of section set out for consumers.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that. I wasn't even aware that the state of Connecticut had its own coronavirus website that was pertains to sticking with just the facts and a great place to get information on maybe flight cancellations and a place to report some of this price gouging. You mentioned scams a moment ago. Are you recognizing any scams in the marketplace right now?
There are definitely scams going on, and unfortunately, it's kind of what we see traditionally. So whenever there's something in the news and that's on front of people's minds, and I can't think of anything that's been more so than this, scammers take advantage. So whether it's there's been some investment scams that the SEC has actually warned about where people are kind of promoting companies claiming that they have this miracle cure that's about to come out. There's been people impersonating CDC or sort of World Health Organization employees to try to get personal information from consumers. We have concerns about charity scams, people claiming they're collecting money to help mm-hmm. people struggling either from coronavirus itself or the effects of that. It's obviously financially impacting just everybody. So those are the things, and our constant kind of regular advice, just really be cautious. Be sure you are certain who you're talking to, whether they call, they knock on your door, send you an email. Be really careful with some of this clickbait, these pop-up ads or links that try to entice you to go into a link. It could be sending you anywhere. And, you know, so things like if there is a cure for coronavirus, you're going to start hearing it from legitimate news
That's
sources,
right.
not in a pop-up ad.
That's right.
So, you know, be very cautious anytime you don't actually know who's on the other end of that communication.
Great.
Before you give out any personal information.
Great advice, Michelle. Great advice. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. What about canceled trips? That people have seemed to, ask about that even when they've called us, where they've. I'm not talking about cruise lines and cruise. Some of them are just quarantined themselves. There's a lot of cruise ships that are just not, leaving the port. But there's flights I know that have been canceled just for various reasons. Maybe there's fewer people flying and they're not going to make the flight or something. Or have you heard anything about canceled trips and what should people do?
Yeah, so that's been a huge issue as travel restrictions are kind of going on across the country as trips are getting canceled, school trips and otherwise. First and foremost, we encourage you work with whatever business. So whatever airline you have the ticket with, if it's part of a tour group, work with them. what we're finding is, in large part, these businesses, they're struggling right now, and they need to keep their customers.
Right.
And, you know, there's a hope that later this year, next year, down the road, things will return to normal, and customers are going to remember which businesses treated them well during this period and which ones didn't. So first and foremost, go call up the airline, call up whoever. If it's a school trip, you know, work through the school who organized that. I'm finding, I think for the most part, people are pretty anxious to kind of help people work this out. If for whatever reason that's not working, certainly you can file a complaint with us, file a complaint with the Attorney General's office. And again, there's links to all of our sort of online complaint forms. And we really want to encourage people to make these complaints online. You can also just, you know, we don't know what situations are going to be. But if you want to email us a complaint, it's dcp.complaints@ct.gov.
What about, you know, we've been hearing that we can't have any gatherings of 50 people or more, yet people are having weddings. They've had weddings scheduled for, you know, even a year or longer, or shows at you know, the Bushnell. I don't want to single them out, but necessarily, but, you know, there's musicals and Broadway productions that come to the area. Concerts are another great example. We certainly know about sports and a lot of the minor league teams and the minor league hockey teams that are, have been suspended indefinitely. But what about shows that are coming to the area that people may have purchased tickets to, or weddings, that people are having at banquet facilities that are temporarily suspended? What do they do if either you purchase tickets or you have a date that's already booked and you can't just reschedule for some arbitrary day because someone else has got that day booked, you know?
It's a tricky situation. I'll tell you, I personally was in that. We had a big family event that we scheduled for mid-April. Mm-hmm. So we called up, and I'll tell you our experience with the businesses, and I didn't, you know, try to throw around where I work or anything. You know, I called them all up and said, we need to move this. And everybody was great, from the venue, and who had the catering, there was going to be a DJ there, like every piece of it. They got it. And yeah, it may be a little struggle. You may have to prepare to be a bit more flexible. You know, certain dates are just not available. And if you have a wedding and are going to have a bunch of out-of-town guests coming, they wouldn't be able to make it most likely anyways with the way things are going, or they may not be comfortable making it. So, you know, people do need to be prepared to be flexible and, you know, figure out what are the important parts. Do you scale down what you are planning? Do you plan to just try to do it in the fall? And again, businesses, they want you to remember them and come back to them. So, you know, my experience, at least, was they were all very, very helpful in helping us find an alternative date.
That's good to hear. Finally, any other types of scams or consumer issues that you are concerned about?
I think we really hit on the big ones. So, you know, the charity scams, again, investment scams, and then just broadly these imposter scams. And these are going to be people, and those are hard to, you know, specifically detail, but either pretending to be from Center for Disease Control, World Health Organization, some other trusted organization, and use that to try to get personal information or money from people. But you can't always know who they're going to pretend to be from. There's always the ever-present IRS scam. So just always be on the lookout for those general imposter scams and people taking advantage of how coronavirus is top of mind to kind of get you off guard.
All right, great advice. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give everybody that website once again. It's ct.gov/coronavirus. She is the Department of Consumer Protection's Commissioner, Michelle Siegel. I cannot thank you enough. I look forward to chatting with you next month, hopefully under better circumstances.